the Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the Music Store.
I recommend doing just as the lady says. That way you can get this this podcast every single week delivered to your phone, your tablet or your computer. Gets better, I think, that intro, Rob, don't you?
Can I pick this up when I'm on holiday?
Yes, yeah. I'll send it to you direct.
Are we doing a podcast while we're on holiday?
Wait, are you back on your honeymoon?
No, I realise it's about 6:30 in the morning, but would you do a podcast in my absence?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it'd be like commemorating your absence. Yeah, we'll do one. Because I think Andy Holding will be with us by then, I presume, for Strictly.
Yeah.
And I can draft in Dee Kellner because he's getting a bit excited about Melanie McCabe.
I haven't seen him. I thought he was here today.
I thought he might be as well. I was hoping he would be so we could talk Melanie McCabe. We'll talk X Factor very soon. We're going to do a bit on Strictly as well, although it's not on this weekend, but we can have a little look back and see what we think to the opening show and the partnerships. Let's talk Celebrity Big Brother, though, because it all finishes this evening as we record this on Friday morning. Finally, at 6 left, Abs Love is the 8-11 favourite. Wow. Charlotte Crosby, 6-4. Lauren Harries, 8-1. Carol McGiffin, 20-1. Mario Falcone, 33-1. And Vicky Entwistle, the rank outsider, at 50-1. It's interesting, this one, Rob. I mean, we talked about how, I mean, anyone who listens to our football podcast, The Punt, when Ron Atkinson first came out, he said, have a little bet on Abs Love. He thought he could go far. Really got on well with him. Loved his kind of like his nature and how kind of thoughtful and quiet he was. And look at him now, 8-11. Never backed it, Rob. The amount of bets that Ron puts up in football, outlandish things that I don't back. And then he tells me a specials bet.
He's been in the house.
He didn't just say Abs. He said Mario as well,
At no stage are we going to get any more inside knowledge.
Stupid of me.
Than this. Like
but, you know, we mentioned it on the podcast at the time, and hopefully someone out there has got on at a decent price. I think that absolutely horrific.
I can assure you, looking at the field book upstairs, a lot of people have got on at a lot of decent prices. I've got to trade the worst book in the history of TV specials tonight.
Wow.
I've got...
How has that happened then, Rob? Just to educate us on the book.
You tend to lay the outsiders later on in the show. So you look at what you've got left. You've got Abs at 8-11. He's traded as big as 25-1.
Yeah.
Lauren Harris, 33-1. Carol McGiffin is probably now today the biggest price. Mario's been sort of around the 33-1. Charlotte was always popular at the start of the show.
So she's all right.
And I mean, Vicky and Carol are big winners for us, but the others we've got. Abs is a five-figure loser. Lauren's 4. Charlotte's 4. Mario's 5.
Wow.
So you wait when they all get evicted and it's Carol and Vicky down to the final two.
I'll
be smoking a big fat cigar. Absolutely. Otherwise, I'll be trying to write a letter to higher management, especially with our new CEO or our CEO on Twitter now. Kind of hoping that I can keep this one.
Is he following you?
He's not following me. That's good. I realise he's following others.
That's a good thing.
He's not got down to reality TV yet.
That's
so
good. I think that's a very... keep it like that. But I mean... I mean, it's difficult this because I made it after listening to Ron, and you know, my own thoughts were, you know, originally at the start of the show, we said, look out for the person who stays quiet, doesn't do anything outrageous, but changes people's opinion of them. He's not really changed people's opinion of them,
really had an opinion when he went in.
No, I think people probably thought he was a bit of an idiot.
Yeah.
If anything, you know, a bit of a kind of like, you know, a bit of a
sort of Jack the Lad type
chav,
character.
You know, in inverted commas and all that sort of thing. Which turned out that he's a thoughtful kind of guy and all that. But then again, Julian Clary didn't change people's opinion drastically of him, did he? He just stayed in the show and didn't get nominated. That's another key thing. But now, is there really, I mean, when I look at Twitter, when I look at other things, is there really that groundswell of opinion that thinks Abs Love is the greatest thing since sliced bread? I think that's a terrible price.
I think there's your momentum, isn't there? The only thing, I mean, we're 8-11 because we've shed loads of him.
Yeah.
But looking at it, if I'm looking at this market now and not really, I mean, I've watched quite a bit over the last week to sort of familiarise myself with what's going on. he's coming out of his shell a little bit, hasn't
he? Not much.
I think the public's perception of him is he's a really nice, genuine guy.
Yeah.
But apart from that, there's not much else. He's not winning the polls.
Do you know what I've done? And this is going to sound daft. This is going to sound ridiculous. I'm probably made to look an absolute idiot tonight. I've backed him to finish sixth.
Could be.
I did that last night. Huge price to finish sixth.
Yeah.
And where's his support?
This is the thing. I don't really see where the support's come.
Right, let's say I had a discussion on Twitter last night with some of the guys we tweet a lot on Twitter, who've Tim Reality_Tim who's appeared on the podcast before, and I can't remember the actual, is it ESC?
Gavin.
About the demographic of the vote, and I don't think anyone's got any cast iron proof, but they were saying they think it's a middle-aged woman type, you know, thing, and I was saying I think it's younger. Let's say it's a middle-aged woman. Which middle-aged woman, a housewife, is voting for Ab's love?
Yeah, you got to look at where...
It's not like, oh, he's like my son, is it? It's not...
You've got, looking at that market, to me, the market is still wrong. I still think Charlotte wins tonight.
Yeah, I do as well.
Because I think people
She's got more fans out there. 7-8 million people watch Geordie Shore.
All these Geordie Shore characters in Geordie Shore that got Twitter accounts have been tweeting to this morning. There's been a lot of other people, even people like sort of Amy Charles. Not sort of Amy Charles has been obviously in Mario's camp, but it's all those sort of reality TV people that are impressionable really to youngsters.
Yep.
That's your voting demographic. Surely they've got to go for Charlotte. I think they go for Charlotte even more if Mario goes out early. The only thing that worries me about this is that these two stay further than I still think Charlotte wins tonight. I still have the feeling that Mario will go first, but I don't know. It's one of those where 8 to 11, whatever's happened, he's not done anything. I can understand the momentum part. But 8 to 11. I mean, Lauren, of the others, Lauren seems to... I don't know who's voting for Lauren. That's the thing. She maybe has changed public. She's just mad, I think.
I think it's a bit see-through, Rob. I mean, I've watched a lot of it, and she's... I mean, she was voted the biggest game-changer on the show last night, and game player.
And that's what she's done.
She's a Big Brother expert.
She's a Big Brother expert. She knows exactly how to play this game.
Yeah. She's not played it very well, actually, but she does know exactly how to play it.
Carol, I think, has probably come out and been the most genuine. This is what she is. I think that's what she is.
Not very likeable, is she?
If the show had ended 2 weeks ago, I think she'd have won. But I think
she's a bit too vindictive, isn't she?
The problem is she's gone from having a laugh to sort of really being sort of bitchy about everything and the fight with Vicky. They're showing the fight with Vicky tonight, sort of ending, which is probably quite good for both of them.
Yeah.
I'm not overly sure who's come out of this the best, and I think
they both had
to sort of land on their sword, don't they?
Well, what it has done is it's mobilised their voters, hasn't it? Because, you know, when you have an argument between two people, the Vicky supporters go, oh, you know, and so do the Carol supporters. So I think that's probably helped them get into the final.
The problem is the Vicky and Carol supporters are probably the same people, in the same way that you'd think the Charlotte and Mario...
Yeah,
this is probably in a reason why Abs is this short, because once you start taking Charlotte and Mario, if they start splitting the vote, you take Carol and Vicky splitting the vote. We're not overly sure who's voting for Lauren, which probably leaves Abs clear. But the polls are still saying that Charlotte wins tonight.
I think it's 6-4.
At 6-4, I still think
you'd love that price at six to four.
It's a lot better value than the 5-2 she was after the opening night for me.
Yeah, that's a fair shout. For what it's worth, my order that I've stuck to is 6th Abs, 5th Vicky, 4th Lauren, 3rd Carol, leaving a straight Towie Geordie Shore battle in the final of Mario and Charlotte, and Charlotte to win.
Yeah, no, I think
you think Mario go earlier than that?
I do actually think Mario goes quite early tonight, but. I don't know. It's just, I think Charlotte's in the final two. I'd love Carol to be in the final two with her.
That's just for professional reasons.
Well, I mean, Charlotte's
just to save your bacon.
Charlotte's a loser, but if I could just have something on the night to trade with, at the moment I'm firing up the in play at 9 o'clock with the worst book in the world. I'm not overly convinced how to go with it because I can't really sort of arbor 33 and a 50-1 shot. Yeah. So
my other thing. I mean, again, yeah, we're talking small stakes here because it might be, you know, the one thing that a lot of the experts on Twitter and in reality shows, and especially this one, and it's proved evident, is that following the market has been the way to go. Yeah. So I mean, I'm going right against the market, obviously here. But at 10-1, Mario Falcone to be top male in a 2-horse race.
Yeah.
What if it's wrong? I'm not saying it is, but.
If one of them goes early, it's just a question of which one. You'd probably rather be on the 10-1 shot for value purposes. There ain't too many, not too many people getting rich quick at 33 on shots.
No, not at all. It's going to be fascinating to watch, though. Good luck if you're having a bet on any of those.
In play from 9 o'clock.
Excellente. With a crying Rob Dixon. Yeah. So, as you're having your bets, remember that reality Rob Dixon will be sad. The X Factor went into its second week last week with more auditions, then more of the live auditions as well. Melanie McCabe was featured very heavily on the show. She's been on the show 4 times before at various different ages, obviously. But it's fair to say that this year she's probably the best she's ever been. Maybe. 5-1 she is to win it. The outright favourite now, which is alarming. Tamira Foster, 11-2. She was the girl who was on the week before, who was almost given an auto cue to get through the words of a song. Abby Alton, 6-1. She's the kind of guitar-y, folky-type singer who is wowing everyone. 6-1 she is. Sam Bailey, the overs category best at the minute, president officer. 7-1. Hannah Barrett was the girl who was had a dress on that was about 4 sizes too small for her, as far as I can remember.
Don't mind.
60-1. Jade Richards, another former contestant, 20-1. That could be 200s. Luke Friend's an interesting contestant, Robert, 20-1. There's been a lot of chat about perhaps he could be a bit of an outsider to actually get in the final 12.
There's definitely rumours, isn't there, that he's got a lot further than we've given him credit for.
I'm
so
not
going to
talk about any of this because they'll just be off the bottom of the scale by the time we finish the show. Well, let's talk about this. I mean, we watch, you know, you cast your minds back to when we first started doing this podcast, Rob, and we'd watch the show every week and we'd have a chat about it, and it was good fun because you could have an opinion on who was going to get through and who wasn't. Now, we get these lists on these forums, which is great for punters. I'm not crying about it, but we've got a list in front of us of everyone who's going to be in the final in the judges' houses.
Yeah, and that is your list. That is your personal
list. This
is
judges' houses list, isn't it?
I've not got it on William Hill notepaper, but this is judges' houses, yes. Yeah. This is the alleged list from a reputable...
It's from
poster.
A forum.
It's off a forum. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. It's off a forum. Yeah. It could be a load of rubbish.
Yeah, it could be.
But we get these every year, and I mean, realistically, sort of 9 or 10 of them are normally correct. But saying that, you could probably guess. I mean, let's be honest, Melanie McCabe is in the final. Yeah. I'm not buying this. She got the exact same edit as she did last year. Last year, she was 66-1. This year, she's 5-1. She will be in that final.
Yeah, and she won't win, though.
Probably won't win. But,
the thing for me is that, right, what we've got here is we've got people who are professional punters, obviously, out there who want to make money, want to make a living out of it. And there are people like me who like to have a bit of fun from having a bet.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want to know that Mesut Ozil gets sent off 56 minutes into his debut before the match has started. I don't want to know that someone hits the bar and it flies over and doesn't go in. I don't want to know the score before the game starts.
Well, it turns into a soap, isn't it? I'm sure on these forums you can also find out what happens to Carl and Corey tonight as well.
I don't want to know that either.
And things like that. But
this is ruining it for me, Rob. It's ruining the fun of it all. But then people are telling me on Twitter.
That's easily sorted. I need this copy back, by the way, because I've not got.
Do you know what I mean, though? What I'm saying is, fair play, you know, if you want to make some money and you want to get an advantage, that's great. I mean, obviously, that's brilliant. We all want that. But this is ruining it a bit for me.
But this is well, you're seeing things differently, aren't you? You're seeing things as a... There's a difference as a professional punter.
Yeah, I can't ever be labelled a professional punter.
As a compiler,
I'm an amateur.
As a compiler of these markets.
You have to look at it.
And or as somebody who likes the show.
But every year, the other thing is, every year we get this list.
Yep.
And it's invariably wrong.
Well, you do get a few little...
You get a few ones in there.
A few that you don't expect.
Yeah. I mean, what you get is you get the names of bands chucked at you, and then suddenly that's not the right name.
That's the thing, yeah. I've got bizarre name. We've not seen a band. If this list that I have is true, I've not seen a band yet. in
exactly.
Two
so how
weeks.
Can we be making comments about how so and so is plan A?
Well,
we haven't seen weeks and weeks of auditions.
From our point of view, we can comment on what we've seen before. And as far as I can see, I've got a fav who has failed the last 3 or 4 years to get into the show.
Yeah.
I've got somebody who needs an auto cue to actually get the words right. And I've got a quirky folk type singer who has been proven over the last 3 or 4 years this isn't the way that X Factor want. So come racing. It's a bookmaker's dream. I'm laying these three. I can add Sam Bailey in that because you ain't gonna have a 36-year-old woman isn't votable. So you've got 3 or 4 that I'm laying now below 10 to 1, laughing my head off. I hope.
Fascinating stuff. So if you get any clues as to who's going to be doing what,
send them to me.
Because I still want to see them. At Lee Phelps is the Twitter.
Yeah, it's amazing how you don't want to know this list, but last year it was, get on Ryland, he's going to make it through 100 to 1.
It wasn't because of a list,
value.
It was just because of, we know how the show works. Yeah. It wasn't because of a list. That was because you could see he was the freak show.
I'm struggling to see the freak show.
Yeah, exactly. Where is that?
Unless we haven't seen the freak show.
Who is that person? Who is that person who will be the quirky
one? That'd be a freak show. There's nobody called Giles who's genuine.
No, Giles Potter. Yeah, so we shall see, and we'll watch it with interest as they pop up. It also means, of course, Rob, is it that if there are acts in this list that we've got in front of us who appear and they're good, the price will crash immediately.
Exactly, they're just artificially short then.
Yeah, so exactly. So that's worth bearing in mind.
Everyone's
as well.
A winner.
Indeed.
Well, I'm a winner.
Strictly Come Dancing began last week when all the celebrities got their professionals paired with them. It means now that Natalie Gummide, I must apologise for calling her Gummide. I've never heard of the woman before.
Is it
before.
Not Gummide?
It's Gummide. Natalie Gummide is 9 to 4, so we'll call her by a correct name from now on. Ashley Taylor Dawson is 7 to 2, Rachel Riley 6 to 1, Susanna Reid 6 to 1, Sophie Ellis-Bexter 9 to 1, Ben Cohen 12 to 1, Abby Clancy 14s, Patrick Robinson 16s, Fiona Fullerton 25 to 1, Julian McDonald 33, Mark Benton 33, Dave Myers 66, same for Deborah Meaden, Tony Jacklin 80 to 1, and Vanessa Feltz, the rank outsider, at 100 to 1. She's very short, isn't she, Natalie Gummide, at 9 to 4, but she's got a great partner, and he looks absolutely, you know, he did cartwheels.
She is, but everybody keeps telling me that she's gone to this best dance school in Europe. Mm. She's been dancing since the age of 4. If she has, she's 9 to 4 is still value.
I think, yeah. Well, unless the public don't really, you know, the whole, do they go along with that because she's got a bit of an advantage before the show starts?
The only downside for me is that they'll try and give as many negative comments to keep. That's what they tried to do last year, wasn't it, with Louis Smith? They knew Louis Smith was the best,
keep
so they tried to keep it as tight. Mm-hmm. But as a show, they're very good at that.
Yeah.
They're very good at, if somebody, I don't know if they look at the betting or anything like that, but they, as soon as it becomes a one-horse race, people will switch off. They need to keep this as tight.
Yeah, and they can still criticise her at a different level, can't they?
For as long as possible. I mean, I still think there's plenty of value around. I think while she's short, and while I think Ashley Taylor Dawson now is probably a little bit too short, there is value around. I've had a bet now. I've backed Sophie Ellis-Bexter. Mm-hmm. Because I like the pairing with Brendan more.
Yes, yeah.
More for anything. I mean, he got Victoria Pendleton last year, which I thought at the time was going to be a really good pairing.
Yeah, and she wasn't very good.
And the market moved, but she was just sort of the coordination and rhythm.
Yeah, couldn't quite give herself over to it. Could
and
she?
I think as a singer, I think Sophie Ellis-Bexter would have that. And yeah. I think this is the one that this is definitely the one at 9 to 1. For me, just screams at the moment, really good value.
Yeah, I like that. That's fair. I said last week I like Mark Benton. I can't reveal names or anything, but someone within the show, that's fair to say, has said that Mark Benton will be a bit of a surprise package.
Yeah.
Maybe not a winner, but will go further than people think. And they also said that Natalie Gummide should win if the public take to her. So that's it.
Yeah, that's always the downside, isn't it? You play a baddie somewhere and everybody just assumes that's what you are. Mm-hmm. Poor lass has probably been shouted at in the street for being nasty to Tyrone.
I tell you one of my favourite bits of the show. Did you watch all the show last week?
Yeah.
Did you see it? One of my favourite bits of the show, and I was having a laugh about this yesterday, was was when Abby Clancy was stood there and they cut to Peter Crouch in the audience. And Peter Crouch isn't, he's not Brad Pitt, is he? That's, no. That's fair to say. He's, you know, he makes the jokes himself. What would you be if you weren't a footballer? His answer, a virgin. So, you know, he knows what the deal is there. And so Bruce Forsyth has a little chat with him. And then she gets her partner, whose name I've forgotten, but he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
You know, a bit of a hunk. And he comes over and Bruce Forsyth says, oh, what a lovely-looking couple you make. Her husband's in the audience.
Yeah. Well, you get that all the time, don't you?
Poor guy. Poor Crouchy.
At no stage in all the years of Strictly Come Dancing has Bruce said, well, you two aren't suited, are you?
No, but it's just a bit, you know, he's sat there. It's all right for Bruce. He's married to Miss World, isn't he?
Yeah, but to be fair, he can't kick his way out of a paper bag, can Crouch. So I think he'd be fine.
True. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this one turns out. Yes. I mean, it's funny. I was talking hang on a minute. Robbie Savage yesterday, that was me dropping that name, and he didn't rate the lineup. He says that every year.
It does seem a very poor lineup.
It's not that it's poor, it's just that there's no real stars in there, are there?
Considering Robbie's year, there was sort of 12, 13 really good, well-known celebrities and Robbie. So,
yeah. Anything else you want to talk about?
Not really, no. I'd like to go back home.
Okay. You're going home now? Are you trading it from home tonight? That people
yeah,
are?
I've got to.
Okay.
Can I just say Mercury Music?
1 minute. I was going to ask you this the other day. Stepping Out's on there.
Stepping Out's, yeah. Stepping
this
out.
Is the ITV dancing
it's
show.
It's been on there since the start, but realistically, nobody ever takes
it. I've not watched it. I didn't even know it was on yet.
Nobody takes any notice. It's been on for 2 weeks.
And what happens? Is it the same format?
The kid from JLS is just 100 times better than anybody else in the show.
Ortiz.
Yeah, as a show, it's been rubbish. I've caught.
What do they do? Is it the same as Strictly? They have to do a routine, learn a routine together, so, and then they go out and do it.
Yeah, so what? But it's not as good. It's nowhere near as good. I'm not going to bore you with it. Can I talk about the Mercury Music Prize?
Because that got announced. You love that, don't you?
As William Hill was official Mercury Music Prize sponsors,
yes.
I feel obliged.
You got all your CDs in the post.
To speak it. All the CDs have arrived. Yes, there's 14 of them because there was two that never made the cut. Disclosure is the favourite at 7-2. I don't know a lot about them, I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you a lot more about
Who made these odds up then?
Well, I did.
Oh, right, if you don't know much about them.
Well, I listened to the music and thought that's about a 7-1 shot, and the punters said, I'll tell you what, that's not a 7-1 shot, so it's now a 7-2 shot. I know a lot more about David Bowie, who is probably the biggest name that Mercury Prize have had in recent years on this. Foles, back from the success of the festival tour, they did Glastonbury, they did Reading Leeds festivals over the last few months. 9-2. John Hopkins, which is an instrumental, a sort of folky instrumental thing at 7-1. Savages 8-1. Laura Marling, who just seems to be nominated for this every year. This is a fourth nomination for a fourth album. This is actually the best album, I think, of the four. So 9-1, probably a little bit of value. Arctic Monkeys, previous winners, are back with their AM album. Originally, they were one of the favourites, but we've just said absolutely no money for them, so they could probably pass over at 12-1. James Blake, not the tennis player. I mean, the same as Laura Marlin, just seemed to be nominated for every single album that he's produced at 12-1. Rudimental, who...
Probably the most commercial of the
lot, probably the most commercial of the list at 12-1. Villagers 12-1. The Outsiders, Jake Bugg, which I'm surprised that Jake Bugg is 14, because I've always thought of Jake Bugg ever since the sort of Radio 1 Newcomer Awards and things like that, and all the sort of offbeat stuff that they do there. I just thought this was Mercury Prize in a nutshell for me. But 14-1, I think if you can get any each way value, but you can't with William Hill, then the 14-1 I think is probably very good value.
Laura Mvula.
Laura Mvula.
Is 14 as well.
Is 14-1 as well.
Hmm. Thanks, Rob. That was enlightening.
Thank you.
Should we call it a day then?
Let's call it a day.
What are we going to do, the Emmy Awards? We've been promising this for about a month.
Well, it's too late now because they are this week.
have
a look. If you like something in the Emmys...
back it. Talk
about the two... the outstanding drama, I think, is the one that we want to chat about. Let's just have a very quick go through. I mean, they're fantastic. All six.
Yes, well, they are. Bad.
Five and Downton Abbey are absolutely
Homeland,
fantastic
11-4.
Shows.
Game of Thrones, 7-1. House of Cards, 14-1. Downton Abbey, 20-1. And Mad Men, 40-1. Breaking Bad probably is like the most popular of those.
Yeah.
4-9. Would you take it on with Homeland, though?
I was
hard to, isn't it? It's very unique,
yeah,
Breaking Bad, isn't it? It is outstanding.
I was probably
as well.
A bit closer to the first two when we put it out.
Yeah, Breaking Bad. Hard to oppose Breaking Bad, yeah. There, isn't it? Really. The outstanding comedy series Modern Family is 8-15. Louis is 4-1. 30 Rock is 9-2. The Big Bang Theory 9-1. Veep 16-1. And Girls 33.
Oh, I quite like the second favorite. Modern Family is the one we've laid. We were 11-10 before we first put it out, and I think Modern Family can be opposed here. It probably is the biggest one of them, isn't it? But I think 30 Rock at 9-2 is a bit of value for me.
Yeah. Outstanding lead actor in a drama series, Bryan Cranston for Breaking Bad, 8-11. Do you know what, Rob? I mean, that's interesting, because I would rather back that than the other price.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's fantastic.
It looks a little bit more value, doesn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, that's what I would do. I think I'd have that. I mean, but having said that, Jeff Daniels in the newsroom, superb. I mean, that's 16-1. That's what I'd do. I'd have Bryan Cranston at 8-11 as my main bet, and a little saver on Jeff Daniels in the newsroom at 16-1. Outstanding lead actress in a drama series, Claire Danes for her role in Homeland is 4-11. Kerry Washington in Scandal, 100-30. Vera Farmiga in Bates Motel, 8-1. Robin Wright, House of Cards, 16s. Connie Britton in Nashville, 40-1. Elizabeth Moss in Mad Men, 40-1. And Michelle Dockery in Downton Abbey, 50-1. I've got no real view on this.
A little bit
one.
Of money for Michelle Dockery at the 50s, actually. Right. Yeah, it's the worst result in the book. But Claire Danes, brilliant in sort of Homeland. I can't really oppose her, however short it is at 4-11.
I'd only get involved then at the prices on, for me, is the best actor one. I might have a little dabble on that, Rob.
Yep.
Just to help your book out after Celebrity Big Brother. Give you a bit back.
I'm going to need it, aren't I?
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for your time. We'll be back next week with more of the same. If you haven't bet on any of the reality markets this weekend, then very best of luck. And if you want to follow Rob on Twitter, it's @reality_Rob. Bye.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.